Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. I am Toby Leary. I am not the millennial with a mic. I am filling in for Grace, who is home enjoying some wonderful time with the new addition to the family. Congratulations, Grace Curley, from Toby Leary and all of us at Cape Gunworks. I really appreciate being here with you all today and hope to make your day a little better by talking about some common sense about hard subjects that we all need to discuss. That's something we'll be doing today. And by the way, if you want to be on the phone with me, it's 844-500-4242 is the phone number, and you can join me on the Grace Curley Show and talk about whatever's on your mind or whatever the subject matter is that we're talking about. Obviously, I'm the gun guy, right? I own Cape Gunworks, and I know a lot of people want to talk about what happened yesterday in Minneapolis, and I'm happy to talk about that. We're going to definitely dive deep into that whole subject. We're going to probably talk about what's going on in Boston with Mayor Wu and some of her employees. It seems like they're on a bad streak here of people going, you know, off the deep end and doing crazy stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about Massachusetts politics, and I'm happy to talk national politics, but I want to give a quick shout out to my wife, who's down in D.C. right now, walking the safe streets of the District of Columbia, which is something that you couldn't say that long ago. It was one of the most dangerous cities in our country. And I love that Trump has said, you know, that we are the doormat to the country. Let's make this place beautiful and safe again. And I think by sending in the National Guard, he's done that. And now the natural progression of that is, where does he go next, right? And there's a poll question about that today, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But the truth of the matter is, what he did in the streets of District of Columbia in a very short amount of time was already done on the nation's border. Remember all the rhetoric around, we need an act of Congress. Democrats all said they couldn't close the border because there wasn't some resolution from Congress, and they're the only ones who could do it. And, you know, the Biden administration had the open door policy. They literally pinned the gates open of the border wall, and people weren't encouraged to come through ports of entry any longer. It was come all, and bring your family, you know, pay coyotes to get you across the border in any means necessary. And when you get here, you get the cell phone, a court date in the future, and you disappear into the country. And if you move to a place like Massachusetts, you get a driver's license, or California, you get a driver's license, and you can be a productive member of society, or you can live in one of the hotels that are provided for you by our taxpayers. And we feed you, clothe you, educate you, transport you, and not to mention all the medical care that takes place, and we house you. It's like a wonderful deal. You know, the running joke in a lot of people is you go to Mexico so that you can smuggle yourself back in and get treated like an illegal alien as far as the benefits package is concerned. And, you know, meanwhile, Massachusetts is going broke as a result, and they're out turning over every stone. They're leaving no stone unturned. I actually got, you know, a penalty from the Department of Revenue. And I'm like, well, how the heck do we have a penalty from the Department of Revenue? We pay our taxes ahead of time in the state of Massachusetts. Like, we don't even have a tax burden yet, and we're prepaying our tax. Well, that's exactly what the penalty was all about. We didn't prepay our taxes enough. We were short a little bit, so they gave us a like $1,384 penalty for not prepaying enough tax. It's madness. And they are broke. They're trying to wring out everybody in this state. A friend of mine owns a small business, gets an audit from the Department of Revenue. They come in and they start looking at all of the how he makes the sauce in his restaurant. You know, basically what ingredients on every sub, what, you know, how much material was used, what, how much bread, how much salami for the Italian subs. And they do this for 30 days. And then at the end of the 30 days, they say, we think you've been bilking us, you know, for the last 5 years. So here's a $200,000 assessment payable.
You've been meatballed.
Payable within, you know, however many days. And it's like, what? What are you talking about? This is how they're trying to wring people out. And the whole time, they're accusing, and what do? You hire a tax attorney to fight it? And, you know, you're going to pay $100,000 and a tax attorney, or you're going to pay the government $100,000 or $200,000 or whatever it is. This is where they're at. And I heard they're doing this throughout a bunch of businesses in Massachusetts. They're just auditing people at random and saying, hey, you know, we have reason to believe that you didn't give us what is due. And nothing could be further from the truth. They're just arbitrarily auditing people and saying, oh yeah, based on the amount of materials you use for this, we think you've underpaid your tax. It's madness. And this is a reason, because every 5 to 6 months, $1 billion goes out the door to fund, clothe, feed, transport, house people who shouldn't be here in the first place. We've all talked about this ad nauseum, I know, and no one wants to hear it. But now they're getting shifted from the hotels to the housing, more permanent housing, in a state where there is, you know, some say a housing crisis. Certainly is for what we would call affordable housing. But if you're a veteran, if you're a person, a taxpayer who's paid into the system your whole life and you've fallen on hard times, maybe you lost a job, maybe you had an injury and you have a career change and you're trying to start over, well, you're out of luck. You get to go to the homeless shelter, apparently. And, you know, we have this priority for people who shouldn't be here. Why? Well, probably because they pad the voter rolls by 350,000 in the census and gets an extra seat in Congress, or maybe two. But what do I know? I'm just a gun guy, right? 844-500-4242 is the number. Let's start the discussion first and foremost. What happened yesterday is horrific. It is the worst thing that I wake up to and hear those reports and news stories since Columbine, because nothing has really changed in the schools to make them a harder target. The only solution for politicians and Giffords in every town and Moms Demand and March for Our Lives and Soros and Bloomberg, all of the usual suspects, the only solution is to en masse ban, restrict, encumber, transfer, whatever you want to call it, the right to keep and bear arms. That is the only solution. There's never, let's harden the target, let's make it so that crazy or evil people don't want to come shoot up a school. I think we've done a good job in sporting facilities, right? Like you go to the TD Garden, they have rules on what size bag you can have. You go through a metal detector. There's police everywhere. So that is the answer. If you are going to disarm people, good people, who could potentially stop a threat, then you need to provide enough security to make sure that a threat doesn't happen, period. And since Columbine, the mantra and the rhetoric is ban guns, nobody needs assault weapon, AR-15, high-capacity magazine. This has been the one-way street of rhetoric. So we're going to talk a lot about this, but I did open the show talking about DC, and Rob wants to talk about that. So let's go to the... why don't we hold Rob through the break, and that'll give him a little more time. Hold on through the break, Rob. We'll go to a quick break, and we'll be back after this. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary.
More of The Grace Curley Show up next. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results so far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurleyshow.com, is to which city should Trump deploy the National Guard to next? Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, New York, or other?
Fair enough. I'm going to go with Boston.
16% say Boston. 50% say Chicago.
I can see why. There's no weekend that goes by where there isn't a death toll on their doorsteps. And J.B. Pritzker's offended by that suggestion, Taylor. He thinks that Chicago doesn't even make the list of the top 10 deadliest cities in America. All right. Thanks for holding, Rob. You're up first on The Grace Curley Show. How are you today?
Yeah, Toby, lock and load them. Huh? How's it going?
Good, thanks. Load and make ready.
Listen, I live down in D.C. I was in the cleaning business down there.
Mm-hmm.
And no one 20 years ago was living in northeast, southeast, or southwest. Whatever it was. There's only one piece where Georgetown is where people actually live. Otherwise, they're in Virginia. Mm-hmm. As I said to the screener, 20 years ago on New York Avenue, right by the Washington Times, they had the McDonald's there with the bulletproof glass and the drive-thru, okay? That's 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This place is just, forget it. And by the way, anytime a Democrat squeaks, who cares? Whatever they say, do the opposite. I ran for Congress twice, Toby, in 22 and 24 in the 8th Congressional District,
mm-hmm.
and it's rigged. The whole thing's rigged. I get it, though. But I don't get upset about it. All you can do is get on the offense with these people. Every time, all they want to do is steal your money. They want to replace you and replace you with dummies, the invaders. The invaders is one way. They're not leaving, man.
Right.
I don't care what you tell me.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Rob. Let's go to Joe. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes. Has anyone determined the origins of the gun used in that crime?
I don't know. I haven't heard, and I, you know, this is going to sound kind of indifferent, but it doesn't really matter. Like, if he went to a local gun shop and passed the background check and bought it legally, and, you know, it doesn't really matter. The origins or the serial number or the traceability or the how to get it is always reactionary, Joe, to the actual event that took place. Like, everybody's so hyped up on ghost guns and serial numbers and traceability and registries and all of this. But if they were intellectually honest, they would serialize baseball bats, hammers, knives, you know, chains, cable, whatever the heck else people use in murders, right? They don't. Why? Because it's an after the fact problem. And we don't trace where the knife came from. Like, what good does that do? It doesn't bring the person back from the dead. And if you say, oh, well, you know, maybe somebody did something illegal along the way and sold him a gun, okay, I understand that. But at the end of the day, the way I see it, this guy probably passed the background check and bought these guns legally and lawfully. And, you know, all the warning signs were ignored. Unfortunately, he was... I almost made the poll question this. Was the school shooter evil? Just horribly mentally ill? or both, I say he was evil. Like, this isn't something that I've seen a lot of mental illness in my day, but to have a proclivity to kill children en masse and try to stack body counts before you die, that is truly demonically inspired and evil. There's no other way around it. He was obviously mentally ill. You know, I believe that gender dysphoria is a legit mental illness. It was always treated that way. And then until it became affirmed and people said, hey, you know, we need to start telling people they're doing the right thing and give them this gender affirming care and say, you're not, you know, sick or you don't need any help. You need assistance in completing your transition. And we live in America, you know, people can do what they want to do. But the problem I see is, what other mental illness do we continue to affirm instead of treat? We don't. Like, take an alcoholic, for instance. It's equivalent to taking an alcoholic down at the bar and saying, yeah, you're right, you are an alcoholic. Let's pour him tall and strong, fella. Hey, bartender, keep him coming. That's the equivalent of what we're doing. Nobody would do that to an alcoholic. No one would ever do that. I mean, maybe there are people who would, because some people think it's funny to get a drunk and laugh at them, which I think is another form of evil. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you want to see children die, you are a evil, twisted, demented, probably demon-possessed person. There's no other way around it. The apple of God's eye is children. Think about some of the language Jesus used. He said, if you cause any one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you cast into the sea than to cause one of these to stumble. Jesus had some of the most severe language for people who want to hurt kids. And I mean, as a father, I appreciate that. And we would do whatever it takes to protect our children. But for some strange reason, in 2025, when, you know, the worst school shooting took place, I think in 93 or 94 at Columbine, we've done nothing to change it. And that is the definition of insanity. We'll continue to spend an average of $6 million on sod and bleachers at a football stadium at the average high school in America. $6 million is the average cost. But we won't spend $1 million to $1.5 million to harden the target. People always go, oh, you want to make it a prison? No, I don't. I want to make it a beautiful school that makes it hard or impossible for psycho killers to go into. That should be in the budget of every new school in America, mandatory. And you should also have to retrofit the existing schools, because our children are precious. If we're willing to do it to protect athletes, if we're willing to do it to protect politicians, if we're willing to do it to protect money, then why aren't we willing to do it to protect children? It doesn't make sense. Read the manifesto that this psycho left. We'll talk about it on the other side. I'm Toby Leary. This is The Grace Curley Show. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back after this.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Grace, who is home enjoying the new addition to the family. And I'm happy to be here with the Grace Curley radio family. So give me a call if you have any questions, 844-500-4242. We will talk, and I'll read your texts. If you wanted to text in to Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 617-213-1066. We'll get to the text line in just a minute, but Vinny's been on hold for a while. So go ahead, Vinny, you're up next.
How you doing, Toby?
Wonderful. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, this is Vinny over at Shasheen Firearms in Billerica.
All right. Welcome.
Yep. So I got to just let... I don't know everybody else's policy in the state of Mass, but on the 4473, if somebody comes in who looks like a guy and fills that out and then checks off non-binary, they're not getting a gun at my store because they clearly have a mental disorder, in my opinion.
Well, that's your prerogative, Vinny. You don't have to sell a gun to anybody you don't feel comfortable with selling a gun to. You know, that's one thing a lot of people don't realize is there are something called dealer denials. A lot of people talk about, you know, when a prohibited person or somebody comes in and gets denied by the NICS check. But there is a thing called dealer denials. There's people out there that, you know, try to buy a gun and sometimes they're not giving off the right vibe or the right feel. And they say, you know, today's not your day to buy a gun. I'm sorry, but, you know, shop somewhere else. And we've done that on our range, Vinny, where, you know, people have come in to shoot. And at the end of the day, we're like not comfortable with what they're saying. And so we say, you know what? Today's not your day to shoot on the range. I apologize for any inconvenience, but, you know, feel free to come back another day. But are you doing okay? Are you all right? And, you know, we've only had to do that a couple times, thankfully, but that's you know, that's the way it works. And so that's not a bad policy. If you don't feel comfortable selling a gun to somebody, don't sell them the gun, period. That's incumbent upon us to do that. So good on you for doing that. I don't know if I would make it a blanket policy on everybody, but I would certainly do it on a case-by-case basis. So thanks for the call, Vinny. 844-500-4242. On the text line, we've got a question. What is up with micro stamping in Massachusetts? 978 wants to know. We all know it won't work. It's another backdoor gun ban. My post on YouTube was 100% spot on with micro stamping, just another scam by Bacon Hill. Yeah, that's true. What it is it's a requirement under the new Chapter 135 of the Acts of 2024, a law that passed last July, and then Governor Healey, after signing it in 71 days later, decided to sign an emergency preamble to make sure it went into effect immediately and that the voters of Massachusetts could not suspend the law until the 2026 election, because we have it on the ballot as a ballot question. And the point I'm trying to make is, in that law, Chapter 135, there's a micro-stamping provision called Emerging Firearm Technology. And the FCAB, the Firearms Control Advisory Board, which sounds highly unconstitutional, because it is, meets and talks about this emerging firearm technology. And one of the board members happens to own the company that has this micro stamping patent or technology and thinks it should be part of whatever gun is sold in Massachusetts. And if you buy a gun that doesn't have it, you'll be, you know, at some point forbidden from doing that. And if you try to alter a gun that has it, you could become a felon. But basically what it is allegedly they can print the serial number of the gun on the firing pin. And when it hits the primer, and then shoots the bullet and ejects that round onto the ground at whatever crime scene, alleged crime scene that we're talking about, they'll be able to look at the primer through certain technology and figure out what the serial number of the gun is. Now, it was written in and baked into the roster in California since, I think, 2012. And then finally they lost the lawsuit last year and they said, this technology isn't viable. It doesn't exist. And we haven't been able to add a single gun to the roster since 2012 in California. So they finally overturned it and they pulled that out of the defense or whatever. And they allowed the plaintiffs the victory of being able to add guns to the roster. And now a whole bunch of guns got added to the California roster. Now, Massachusetts took a page out of that gun banning playbook and are putting it in to Chapter 135 and saying, under Executive Office of Public Safety, we're going to bake in this new emerging firearms technology, smart guns or smart guns or not so smart guns, whatever you want to call them. basically that have a biometric fingerprint reader on them, and then the micro stamping. So those are the two things that they're making recommendations to the board to put into law or as a rule, and will carry the weight of felony should you not comply. The interesting thing about this is law enforcement's always exempt. Isn't that convenient? I mean, I find that completely interesting that they all, it's good for you, the public, but it's not good for us. Why don't you start by micro stamping all law enforcement guns and making them all biometric? If it's such great technology, let's start there. But they always exempt police departments from it. So obviously it isn't that good. It's just exactly what the texter said, another backdoor gun ban. 978 says, Toby, this took place in the church, not the actual school building. So what is the charge who to say this is going to happen again in church? Usually during mass, the doors are wide open and you have only ushers. I think the church was connected to the school, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was. So I think you have to, as soon as students are present, treat it the same. And churches are another place where are vulnerable to crazy people or to evil people, right? They want it, like, if you read the manifesto of what this guy was doing, he specifically wanted to target children, and he was saying, where is your God now? You know, he was writing all these messages and wanted to, I believe that's why it's demonically inspired. What would the devil want to do? He would want to take out the apple of God's eye, his children, us, the people, right? And what better way to hurt society than to deal with the most vulnerable in society? And it is truly evil. And so I think churches need to start taking security and safety very seriously. I know a lot who have, and they need to do the same thing, harden the target and also be aware of what's going on, probably have armed ushers and a church security team. And that has proven to be very effective. There have been shootings in churches throughout history. My uncle went to a church in Colorado Springs where somebody came in and wanted to shoot up the congregation, which had thousands of people in it still, and managed to kill a few people. But then an off-duty security guard confronted him, an off-duty police officer, I should say, that was working church security, confronted him with a firearm, which caused him to turn his own gun on himself, which is an acceptable outcome at that point to save many lives. I interviewed Stephen Williford from the Sunderland Springs, Texas church shooting. He lived across the street from this church, and he was supposed to be at work that day, and for some reason he stayed home and was on call. And he normally goes to church, but he didn't that day because he was on call as a plumber. And he heard the shots ring out. He grabbed a handful of rounds. And here's where the safe storage laws actually harm us even more. He had his gun in, safely locked up, unloaded, and he managed to open the safe, which took him two or three tries while this guy was killing people in a church. And he got his AR-15 out of the safe, grabbed a handful of ammo out of the box, and was stuffing them in a magazine as he ran across the street barefoot. And he engaged with this shooter and was able to shoot him, I think, five or six times. The guy still got in a truck and drove away. But by the armed confrontation, it ended the threat. And that's what we need. Unfortunately, people are like, oh, so more guns are the solution. That's always the solution, right? What do you do when you have somebody who's actively shooting? You send the police who have the guns, right? You don't send in social workers. You don't send in nurses. You don't send in lifeguards. You send in the guys with the guns. Unfortunately, that's the way society works. And that's the only thing that stops these violent, crazed lunatics, evil lunatics. So until we take it that serious, it's going to continue to happen. And I thank God that the people, you know, that have a church or a synagogue are starting to take that a lot more serious. And it's interesting too, because if you think about the concept of church, you're actually inviting the people that need help into your congregation, right? That's the whole point. The like, you know, only those who are sick know they need a physician, right? So we go to church, and you know, it's not effective, or it's not the Great Commission to just go in there and have a powwow with ourselves and then leave and feel better about ourselves. That's not the point. The point is to help those in need, and to bring those who are vulnerable in, and to help those who are, you know, addicted or mentally ill or whatever need. You know, we're all sinners. We all need God. And so when we bring people in and we minister to them, sometimes that creates a dangerous situation, right? So, but that is the call. That is what we do. And so there's a more interesting dynamic in a church than a school, because you can't just shutter the doors and get buzzed in at the church. So you got to take some extra precautions there. So long answer for a short question, but I believe when children are present, they need to be protected. So whether the school has a church associated with it, or treat them the same. My kids went to a school with a church associated with it. It would have been just as easy to provide, you know, cover for them there as well. So anyway, I digress. 844-500-4242. We have a little more. We'll do one more segment on this, and then we're going to move on. But feel free to call. Feel free to text Curly to 617-213-1066. And we'll be right back after the break. I'm Toby Leary. Don't go away.
The Grace Curly Show will return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary. 844-500-4242 is the number. You can text Curley to 617-213-1066. I want to play a couple of cuts at the media's disingenuousness after every school shooting. They help build the wave for the coffin surfers to ride after every tragedy, and help beat the drum and the mantra of it's just about the guns, it's just about the guns. And let's start off with Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota.
It of course makes me think about guns and all the work we've done to ban these automatic rifles and to do something when it comes to the background checks and everything, and we keep getting thwarted. We were able to pass a limited measure on a bipartisan basis, but not enough to stop something like this. And it just makes you think about that as well, without knowing the details about how he got the gun, if the gun was legal, what kind of gun it was. But it was clearly one of these automatic rifles to be able to shoot that many kids so fast.
They love that term, the automatic rifles. Get people spun up. There's people out there that literally think you can walk into a gun store and buy a machine gun and walk out with it. Cut one, Taylor.
It seemed like a rifle, he said, a semi-automatic rifle, and it went on for several minutes.
Right, and look, that's not uncommon as well. These things can shoot dozens of bullets, you know, in just one trigger pull, right? And so what happens in this case is sometimes they have enough time to reload. It's one of the most horrific things for students to be sitting.
Again, she correctly said it's a semi-automatic rifle, and then he corrects her and says, oh yeah, and these can shoot dozens of bullets with just one trigger pull. And I would love to know where you can find one of those, because I've never heard of such an animal.
Wait till you hear Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis.
All right, play that one next.
The reality is that We have these assault rifles that can reel off 30 clips in conjunction with a magazine before the person even needs to reload.
We are all dumber from listening to your statement. Unfortunately, the people who have no idea how firearms work, by the way, ironically, this is incredibly ironic. Before I even heard of this shooting, we got an old Remington number 7 rifle that is like over 100 years old. And I wanted to do a video on it and show how this technology and this type of rifle, a semi-automatic magazine-fed center fire rifle, has been around for almost, you know, well over 100 years. So I'm going to be doing a video about that later. I just didn't get a chance to do it. And by the way, I'm on a YouTube strike, so we haven't been able to post anything for 2 weeks, all because I did a video while holding a gun inviting people to come to an event. But I have no idea why that got banned and taken down. But that's the way YouTube policies work sometimes. So play Jake Tapper's number 7.
Another piece of the puzzle as to who the shooter was. The Minneapolis Star Tribune says, according to court records, because there's been some confusion about what the shooter's name was.
Yes.
Robin Westman's mother applied to change her child's name in 2019. It was at one point Robert Paul Westman.
Correct.
Since she identifies as a female and wants her name to reflect that identification, was underage, it's now Robin.
You know, they're more interested in getting the name right and the identity of the shooter than how to fix the problem in the first place, because, you know, they really don't want to. And then they were disingenuous on ABC's Aaron Katursky. Cut 8, Taylor.
23-year-old Robin Westman was able to leave what police called a video manifesto that they're now going through to try and establish motive. We've also been going through it and can tell you there are crude diagrams of the church. There are also photos of the weapons, and they include all sorts of writings, the names of past mass shooters, criticism of Israel, the name of President Trump written on the guns. There are also racial slurs, nihilistic statements, all painting the picture of a disturbed individual who carried out this mass shooting on the first week of school at the Annunciation Church in Minneapolis.
And one of them actually came out and said, we still don't know what the motive is or was. It's insane. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary, and we will be back after this break. Thanks for listening.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.